Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Raptors Over Everything, a podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I got the Raptors roundtable perspective on the NBA Finals on Monday. And so I figured it was only appropriate to get the Warrior side of things. And joining me on the podcast is Andy Liu, fellow Asian of the Light Years podcast and also from Warriors World. Andy, welcome.
Love that, fellow Asians.
I gotta put that out early.
I would do the exact same thing. It's the only reason I did this podcast. Can you imagine if someone else would be like, nah, bro, I'm busy. I got shit to do. Wait, can I swear?
Oh, yeah, you can swear. Don't worry.
Okay. Yeah, I got, bad stuff to do. I ain't gonna show up. But for you, dog, we can go for like 2 hours, plenty of time.
Listen, for the listeners out there, I know some Raptors fans, we have a tendency to sometimes overreact to things. And I just have to warn you out top that Andy is... for listeners to this podcast, sometimes after some very lopsided Raptors wins, I'll drop the slander pod. Like, Andy is like the slander pod, like, constantly, and he cheers for the Warriors. And he's like an OG Warriors fan. He's not no, like, bandwagon fan. So expect to be offended as a Raptors fan. I'll just put that out early. Just early.
I guess we can go into it because I haven't found much to slander the Raptors on. I'm trying. Believe me, I'm trying. The last 4 years, it's so easy, man. OKC, Cleveland, all these places. But Toronto, it's like, I am going for it. Ibaka, Gasol, Lowry. I can't find anything that makes me, want to tweet out some stuff that'll piss people off. I legit can't do it. And that's how I live on Twitter. So honestly, it's been a little depressing.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no, history here, right, between these two franchises. So, you know what I mean? Like, you see it on the timeline all the time, Warriors and, LeBron fans basically going at it. Like, there's a history there. Yeah. Obviously, any team that plays Houston for even, one game will end up hating Houston.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Play basketball. They're just kind of just trying to game for calls and shit. So,
yeah,
I can see that. And also, Westbrook is, one of the biggest hotheads in the league. Yeah. And so you guys have natural enemies, but the Raptors, I don't know. It's just, it's not a very it's a very easy to group. You know what I mean? There's no I guess you can kind of go at Kyle Lowry because he'll occasionally flop and do Chris Paul stuff, but he's not dirty like Chris Paul. Paul will push it too far because he's kind of I'm Chris Paul. Man. Yeah. But Kyle, he just is a guy who knows his limitations and he'll try to push the envelope, but he's not dirty or anything. So,
yeah, and I feel like everybody's pretty happy about Kyle Lowry. He finally made it to the NBA Finals after getting whipped around every season by LeBron. It's that's such a good story. You got a bunch of vets like Ibaka and Gasol, which the Warriors beat in the West for years. Now they're on the East and they're making the finals. So it's and Kawhi. I mean, what can you really say about Kawhi? I mean, I spent all season kind of hinting he's kind of soft. He sat out last season. He barely played this season. But then you watch the postseason and you're it worked out. So there's not much for me to go with. Nick Nurse, right? Who cares about Nick Nurse, bro? Right? And then it's Masai Ujiri, all right, he's a minority. I can't really go at him. So it's what am I supposed to do here, man? Help me out. What am I supposed to do?
I'm telling you, there's not much to slander. It's pretty much just Kyle Lowry. He'll probably flop at some point. And you guys will get mad about it. But, I don't know. It's a pretty likable group. And, this is the thing. I listen to your podcast all the time. And one of the takes that I heard throughout the season, this is not from you, this is from Sam, right? So I don't feel like you should be responsible for this. But Sam said all year the Celtics are better than the Raptors that Kyrie would be a more dangerous playoff player than Kawhi. And so I wish he was here to answer for it. I tried to get him for it. He kind of ducked out the way, but I mean just for you guys though. Before we talk about this series in particular, is it more fun for you now that you don't have to play LeBron and like all the baggage that comes with LeBron and all the storylines. Because when you play LeBron, it's not just playing LeBron. It's also, you know, managing narratives, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of LeBron nowadays, as he's kind of getting older, it's not really about basketball. It's pretty much about everything but basketball, which he's probably the best at gaming at this point. Mm. I'm very, very happy about not playing LeBron again. And the other thing is, like, they got to the point where the Warriors knew they would beat him. Like, yeah. I think, like, 2016-17, they were so good that, like, you kind of thought maybe the Cavs had a chance. But, like, deep down, like, you knew, like, that thing was over. And then last year, I was like, I mean, that was just, you know, that was a joke, right? They it didn't matter if they lost game one. They would have won four in a row after that. And so it's like, there's no intrigue there. And now, like, if KD was healthy this season, which he was the last two seasons, I think the Warriors would beat the crap out of the Raptors, too. Like, same thing. But it's still interesting, and it's Kawhi who essentially is doing his own version of LeBron James. So it's like the Warriors are not new to this, like, superhuman guy on the other side that, you know, can take over a game and drop 40, right? Like, they're not new to this, but it's cool that it's a different dude. And, you know, frankly, the Raptors they're much better defense than what the Cavs have thrown out the last 4 years. I think that 15-16 series, like those last three games, like they turned it up a notch and the Warriors, you know, were beat down. Mm-hmm. And so that defense looked great. But like this Raptors defense, like, you know, it's legit. I didn't watch them much in the regular season, but yeah.
I mean, they turned it another notch in the playoffs. And I feel like this is, especially with a veteran group, like it's been said a couple of places, but the collective IQ for the Raptors, like it's, I wouldn't say it's Warriors-esque because I think they don't have one central figure like Draymond that could be everywhere on the floor at all times. But like, It's kind of close to that, you know, like in terms of like Milwaukee, right? Milwaukee plays very similar to like Houston, for example. And you just see if you're a high IQ defense against a team that kind of has one strategy around one star, you can figure that out and you can solve them and you can make a, like, numerically, like, Rockets are a very good offense. But when they play against the Warriors, it's not the case. And the same thing with Milwaukee versus Toronto. Like, you just have a lot of high IQ guys that kind of eventually solve them. And so I'm kind of interested to see how the Raptors can defend the Warriors just because, like, it's an entirely different, you know, matchup. Like, the Raptors played Orlando, whatever. Like, that was just no contest. There was never going to be a series there. And then Philly came up, and Philly was the problem because Philly was so physically big. Like, they kind of reminded me of almost that, like, 2016 OKC team where it was just like, holy crap, these guys are just big across the board. And for your Warriors, like, that kind of, you know, even before LeBron, like, that was the team, you know, that you know, gave you guys trouble. And so the Raptors kind of figured out how to deal with that. They had to play like big lineups and stuff. And then Milwaukee obviously was a physical force, but like, man, the Warriors are just different. They're just different. And they're different because of Steph Curry. And like, you know, in terms of defending a superstar, the Raptors have had an answer for Joel Embiid. That was Marc Gasol. They had an answer for Giannis. That was Kawhi. There's no answer for Steph Curry. And that's what worries me about this series.
Well, I mean, you don't think Kawhi can stick with him in crunch time? Like, that's the answer. That's what people are saying. I just don't know. I don't know. Like, I'd like to know your thoughts on that because I don't know.
Okay, the way I look at it is this, right? Like, I don't know who they're going to put on the ball against Steph, but like,
you would think Lowry.
It's either Lowry or Danny Green. Either of those, I don't feel great about either of those, to be honest. But
wrong with Danny Green, by the way? Let's just. Okay. I'm going off on 10 tangents, man. I watched Danny Green, by the way, who always balls out against the Warriors, man. Mm-hmm. And I kind of expect him to, like, average, you know, 3-4 threes a game. But it's like, man, I'm watching him and I'm like, fuck, is he hurt? Like, that's usually the thing. Like, he was hurt last season with the Spurs and he struggled. Like, if Danny Green plays well, that is huge as a wing guy that can stay on the floor.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Raptors are kind of short on wings as it is. But I think with Danny, like, first off, he is a little bit banged up. Like, he hasn't played like 40 minutes all season, basically. The Raptors were like careful to keep his minutes down under 30. Like, basically the Iguodala plan. And then in the Sixers series, there's a couple of games where the Raptors shortened the rotation and Danny had to play super extended minutes. And I think he just kind of wore down. Yeah. And you know, in the Bucks series, I think he was making the right moves. Like, defensively, he had a good shifts against Giannis and stuff like that. But he's kind of just missing open shots. I don't worry too much about that. I think he'll come back. And maybe he's not going to play like 30 effective minutes, but I think he could be good for 20 effective minutes. So there's that. But I mean, going back to the Steph thing, like, I think, like, you know, defensively, it's really about that pick and roll action, right? Steph's on the ball, Draymond comes to set the screen or whatever. I think where the Raptors might be able to actually sneak Kawhi a couple possessions against Curry is probably having Kawhi guard Draymond and at least try to disrupt that as much as possible, because Kawhi is, you know, obviously an incredible defender. He's got like 7'4" wingspan, you know what I mean? Like, he could blow up a couple of those pick and rolls. And, you know, if that's the case, do you feel like the Warriors might even look to go to somewhere else for that screening action? Because Steph can kind of run the same thing with like a Looney or even Iguodala.
Yeah, I think they're going to stick to – well, here's the thing. They don't even run that Draymond Steph pick and roll that much. Like, just to be honest, like, they're not running that for the entire first quarter. I can almost guarantee you.
Okay.
Like, they're going to run off ball. They're going to throw the ball into Draymond in the post. Hmm. They're going to run some, like, action up top with Steph and Clay, one cutting, one setting the screen, and then Looney's going to come and set another screen, and they're going to, you know, go back around and set another screen. And run. Like, they're going to do, like, 15 different actions off ball, and they're going to see, because that's their base offense, and they're going to say, all right, Raptors, let's see if you can guard that. Right? Like, that's what they're going to do first. And the Rockets, they can guard that. Like, they guard all the off-ball stuff, and they knock the Warriors out their game. And
was that by switching, or what did they do to knock them off?
So that's switching. They switch, but they also have guys that are just, like, fat, right? Like, fat and stocky. Okay. Like Eric Gordon, Chris Paul, James Harden, P.J. Tucker. Like, all these dudes that are, like, they said they built, like, middle linebackers.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
which
sure.
They are.
Yeah, and P.J.'s playing the wrong sport. Like, for real, P.J., just try out the NFL, man.
I'm surprised he hasn't taken someone out yet. Like, the guy is legit. Like, he's probably not, like, the greatest defender, but, like, against the Warriors, he's, like, damn near the perfect guy.
Yeah,
right? It's like – And so that's what the Rockets did very well. And it wasn't until like the Warriors absolutely have to in a closeout elimination game on the road where they're down by 7 in the fourth quarter, they ran 12 straight Steph Dre pick and rolls and scored on 10 of them. Right. And so that's when they do it. And that's the thing where it's like, I think people think that, oh, the Warriors are just going to go to this and the Raptors are just going to have to figure it out. They really don't play it that much until they absolutely have to. And, you know, maybe if the Raptors are up by 10 in the fourth quarter, like, they'll go to it and we'll see what happens. But, you know, the thing about the Warriors is that by that time, your defense is so used to playing off-ball action and you're suddenly hit with that, like, pick and roll. And all of a sudden you're like, all right, what the fuck am I supposed to do, right? Mm. Like, that's the difference. And that's why it's tough for teams to stay with the Warriors. And Warriors fans always hate on Steve Kerr for not running pick and roll.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you get used to James Harden running the same stuff every play. And you made a good ass point earlier. Like, the Milwaukee Bucks, they just play how they play. There's no difference to regular season and postseason.
Yeah.
Like, the Warriors, when they turn it up, that's when it's like, all right, what are you supposed to do? And, like, and you made another point about IQ. Like, I think the Raptors can handle it. I just don't know if the Raptors, like, have enough. Like, I don't know if they have enough, like, talent. Like, Gasol and Ibaka are not 2016 Gasol and Ibaka. Kyle Lowry isn't, like, a star. And Danny Green is, like you're saying, he can only play 20 minutes, you know, effectively. So it's like, I just don't know where the talent is. And I also don't know if Kawhi's healthy, because he didn't look like he was moving that great, even though he outplayed Giannis.
Well, that's the funny thing. I'm not too worried about Kawhi's health, just in the sense that, like, I know he can still be effective, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hear your point. Look, I think, honestly, in order for the Raptors to win this series, it's going to have to look like, Cavs Warriors 2015, where, like, Kawhi does that LeBron role. And I don't think he's as good as LeBron was in that series. Although LeBron, he was, like, he had huge numbers, but it was, like, he shot, like, 39% and stuff. Like, you know, people just forget the fact that he did that. They just post that meme about LeBron, like, leading, you know, points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. But, like, basically that 2015 series where, you know, K-Love is out for that series. Mm-hmm. Kyrie busts his kneecap game one, and, you know, so he's out basically for that whole series, and so they just had to slow everything down
too. Yeah.
What's that?
Which they won game one too, I believe.
yeah, and it was like, you know, it was like the Matthew Dellavedova, like, a bunch of stories about how he drank a lot of coffee and almost died hard. So, you know, like, it might have to be one of those series where, like, what was effective with the Cavaliers did in that series was just defensively, they became so physical, they became so locked in, and because they were able to play through LeBron on offense, so they could just continuously play half-court defense, like, that, I felt like, at least gave the Cavs a chance. Now, eventually, the Warriors kind of figured out, okay, we'll go small, and we'll play basically middle pick and roll, and it's going to tear this team apart, and, you know, you guys, I think, eventually won, after down 2-1, you guys won 3 straight, and 1-6?
Yeah,
so it's got to be something similar to that game plan. And I think, you know, you know the Raptors don't have a LeBron, but at the same time, I think Kyle is a better scorer than basically whoever else that the Warriors were tossing out there. And I think Siakam is also a better scorer than whatever else. Oh, sorry, whatever else the Cavs are throwing out there. And so, you know.
Yeah, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's just my game plan. But, I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, because I'm concerned. Here's my take. I guess people are going to be mad at this one, so if they're still listening. I got two thoughts. One is, where should I start so I don't forget? So number one is I'm worried about Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam. Okay. I don't think I'm that worried about Ibaka and Gasol. I don't think they're that good anymore anyway, but they're think they'll be they'll be fine in the series. I don't think the Warriors are good enough at this point unless Durant's coming back, which I think he will in game three. But I don't know if Lowry and Siakam are ready for the NBA Finals. And I think I've seen that before, man. Like, I've seen Steph Curry in person where he gets shook. I've seen LeBron James get shook. I've seen Andre Iguodala get shook. I've seen, these guys that are, pretty new to the postseason. I've seen KD and Russ get shook.
Mm.
I just don't know if Siakam and Lowry have it. It might take them a couple games, but, you know, by the time it gets to those games, the Warriors are up 2-1 or 3-1 or 2-0, the series is over.
Mm.
And, that's where I'm worried, and you need them to score. They're probably the second or third best scorer. I don't believe Fred VanVleet is going to shoot 70%. He's probably going to regress. Danny Green's probably going to regress as well back to being good, right? Mm-hmm. So that's probably an even out. But it's I just don't know how the Raptors can score. So that's my first thought. My second thought, though, is this Raptors team reminds me of OKC in 2016.
Okay.
Where they're so big and they're so lanky. And I think the Raptors are probably smarter than that Thunder team. But it's I think the Warriors might actually get hit in the mouth and have to take a couple games to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my fear. But then on the other side, and I keep flipping sides here, I think the Warriors are so experienced that won't matter anymore because they were not experienced against that Thunder team, even though they had won a championship. But now that they're 5 years in and they're 9 days of rest in, it's they're kind of ready for whatever the Raptors can give them. They've seen everything. I just don't know how much the Raptors have.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. I think, again, the Raptors pretty much want to play a grinded out. Basically, the whole playoff run has been about defense. As much as Kawhi's been amazing offensively, you're not going to run an amazing offense with one guy kind of doing that, right? It's just if you're going to have an amazing, efficient offense, you kind of need the whole team to contribute. And the Raptors have kind of gone by with the defense. Their defense has been amazing. And I think, honestly, especially if KD's not in. If KD comes back in, I agree with you. The Warriors are going to win the series, period. But especially if KD is out for the first two games or maybe even more than that, then the Raptors actually have a chance because their defense is going to give them a chance just to, stay in the game. And I think it is going to be an issue offensively. What I will say is that, the thing with Kawhi, man, is he can really just give you 35 points efficiently. And do you remember 2017 when it was, Spurs, Warriors, that game one where Kawhi had 26 before Zaza sort of slid a foot under him and stuff like that? Do you remember that game? And I don't know.
Yeah,
what were your feelings during the game? Were you worried about that game? Were you worried that the Spurs might actually have something in that series? Or did you kind of see it as a game one outlier?
Yeah, I was there for that game, and the Warriors got destroyed. And it's typical Spurs fashion, where the Warriors come out, they're sloppy, they're throwing the ball all over the place, they're confident as hell. They have that little hiccup where it's they're kind of figuring out how to play with Durant. They don't really know what they're doing. That happens quite a bit. It's actually happened a lot more this year. I do think it was an outlier, though. The Warriors probably win the next four games. Maybe they drop one, but there's no way they would have lost that series. There just wasn't enough from the Spurs. And that's almost kind of how I feel now. Because, the thing with the Warriors, man, you need Kawhi, but then you also need Kyrie Irving. You need both guys. And so you brought up the Celtics earlier, right? You need Kawhi, but you need Kyle Lowry to play as well as Kyrie. And, maybe not the whole series.
Mm.
Maybe not, but, four games. You need him to, probably average, 26 to 30 points in, four games to have a chance.
It's not happening.
Right, well, but – or maybe it's Kyle Lowry and Siakam combined for 40, right? But it's
that's,
you need, that maybe that's more possible, but like yeah. that's how I think of it. Cause I think the Warriors defensively, they're going to start Iguodala on Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be okay with Kawhi going for 35. Okay. Like it's like, hey, Kawhi dropped 35. That's fine. But we're not going to let Pascal Siakam torch us. We're not going to let, you know, Kyle Lowry torch us. And like, we're just not going to let these guys like Norman Power, Fred VanVleet, who, my God, I had so much fun watching them, but it's like, we're not giving them open threes. We're not giving them drives to the holes. Like, that's not happening. But Kawhi, he can drop 35 on, like, you know, 25 shots. That's okay with us.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the rest of the stuff, we're just not going to let happen. And it's like, they've won that, like, playing like that before. And it's like, that's kind of what I see. Like, I see a huge Kawhi series. Like you said, like LeBron did. But it's like, where is the other stuff going to come from? Because if it's not coming, then it's like – and they also – and I do think DeMarcus Cousins coming back will help them, depending on how Kerr use them. So I think he will play tomorrow.
Wait, help who? The Warriors or the Raps?
Depending on how Kerr plays them, either team. Okay, if Kerr plays him strictly against the Raptors bench, you obviously know way more than I do. Like, uh-huh. I think it helps the Warriors. Yeah, but if he starts them, I think it helps the Raptors.
I mean, he shouldn't start him, man. Looney's playing real well.
Yeah.
I guess Looney's also coming off the bench sometimes too, right?
Yeah. Because
it's like,
no, you're right.
Jordan Bell starts.
Yeah. Like Bogut. Like he'll probably roll with Bogut tomorrow. Like is probably what I'm gonna think. And it's like, because you guys start Gasol, right? So it's like,
yeah,
he'll match up like the big white dude against the big white dude. And sure, like Steve Kerr always wants to go big, and so it's like they'll go with that. And it's like I don't know. We'll see how it goes. You know how they'll feel out games go. Like I'm be honest with you, man. Like, I'm a little bit nervous about this series because mm-hmm. I've never seen the Warriors play against the Raptors in a high leverage game. So it's like super, super interesting to see what happens in game one.
Yeah, same. And yo, by the way, what's up with the what's up? I feel like Warriors fans have a different relationship with Steve Kerr than, because like Steve Kerr's, I feel like the rest of the league loves Steve Kerr. Like, I feel like the media loves Steve Kerr. People love Steve Kerr's, you know, politics, I guess. It's like the Kerr Popovich stuff. And it's like,
yeah.
People love Kerr and they're like, oh, it's a championship coach, stuff like that. But I feel like with Warriors fans, I don't know. Is it just like the usual gripes that like every fan has with their coach? Or is it like,
yeah, I mean,
is it 2016 with the Varejao thing? Like, what's going on?
That, actually, you bring that up. I wasn't even going to bring that up. But dude, that shit's scarring. Like, no lie. And Kerr's made an adjustment. Like, he hasn't really done that since. But it's like, that was truly one of the dumbest coaching decisions of all time. And I think Kerr kind of gets let off the hook a little bit. I think Kerr's a top three coach in the league, though. Like, yeah. I think it's like Kerr, Pop, and like Spo, maybe Stevens, whatever. Like, but I think Kerr's right up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's people love Steve Kerr. People love Steph Curry more, man. Like, yeah, you could probably ask me, like, why don't Warriors fans like KD? They like KD. They just like Steph more. What do you want Warriors fans to do? Like, and if you like Steph more, it's like, you're always going to want the ball in Steph's hands. Like, dude, fuck everyone else. It's like, get the fuck out the way or just run a pick and roll. Like, we just want Steph to get the ball. And I think, like Warriors fans are like, they'll live with that. And I think Steve Kerr has his own method. And like, it works.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you can't complain with the results, man. I mean,
no. So it's just, Warriors fans are always going to want, me included, are always going to want to see Steph, you know, go for 40 rather than kind of look at the long game. So, but that's why he's coaching. That's where we're sitting. I'm sitting in my bed right now, you know, doing a podcast, and he's coaching the greatest team of all time, probably.
Okay. Where are you at with Andre Iguodala's health? Because I feel like, because having watched Danny Green up close, I'm like, okay, if a guy gets a certain age after a certain amount of playing time, if he plays X amount of difficult minutes in a playoff series, he's going to wear down. And when I look at Iguodala, I'm like, all right, so he's already got that little like calf thing that he suffered against Portland. I don't know if it was super serious or whatever, but he was missing games. And like, if KD's not in for the first little bit, like, I don't know. I could kind of – you guys are a little bit short on bodies to throw at Kawhi.
Yeah, you were talking about Danny Green. I thought of Iguodala earlier.
Uh-huh.
I didn't bring it up, but that's a great question because you play Iguodala for too long, man. Like, he's not going to make it. Like,
what's too long for Iguodala nowadays?
Well, I mean, you even take a look back. Like, you look at 2015-16 when he had to guard KD the whole series, and then he had to guard LeBron. Like, by the end of that series against Cleveland, Iguodala was not walking. He was playing, but he was not walking. I think people forget that anyway. We'll throw an asterisk on the Cavs title. I'd love to do that.
Oh, man.
And then the last couple seasons, he didn't make it through last season. It's not like he played a long series, right?
Yeah, that's
true. He just didn't make it.
That's true.
And like 16, 17, he was fine. But like this season, again, doesn't show up in the regular season. Plays pretty well at the end. But then again, you play him very long against the Houston Rockets because he had to go small from the beginning, right? He gets through that series pretty well. Plays a great game six. You can always rely on Iguodala. But then he burns out against Portland. He doesn't make it through game three. This is why when people say like 9 days of rest is going to hurt the Warriors, they're going to be rusty. I think it's the exact opposite. Like I think that they're a team that needs it so much. There's a stat out there that the Warriors have played enough playoff games in the last five seasons that mirror an entire regular season. And we're not talking about like regular season games. Right? We're talking about high pressure, lock in. You got to play both sides of the ball. No bullshit basketball. And that they've played an extra season. And so I think someone like Iguodala, he needs that rest. Because I think if that Portland series had gone four, he'd be screwed against Kawhi. Because I think Iguodala probably has enough for Kawhi. He could have played game four if he needed to. If the Warriors like were down 3-0 or something, like, he would have played.
Word.
But I think he should have enough. But that's like one of those X factor things. Like Raptors fans are probably going to hate when Iguodala makes like three threes, like in game three. That's like okay. You're just going to be like,
you guys are going to hate Pascal hitting a corner three. You know, it is what it is.
I like Pascal. Pascal's he's a little old though, right?
What's that?
Is he old? Is he like 25, 26?
He's low-key 25. Yeah, he's low-key 25. But he's like a young 25, old. You know? Like, he hasn't played any basketball. Like, he literally was, like, playing soccer in preschool? I don't know what that's called. But, yeah, and they were like, wait, you know, you're 6'9". You should probably play basketball. And he's like, oh, word? So he only started playing basketball late. So he's a young 25. But, yeah, he is 25.
Ibaka's an old 29, huh?
I mean, that's, yeah. We're gonna leave it at that, but because Ibaka came on this podcast, so I gotta protect Ibaka's name forever. But every time I see 29, I'm just like, huh? Anyway,
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, because if it's not Iguodala, it's like probably Klay, and I feel like if it gets to the point where Klay has to take extended shifts, like you know what I mean, like you know, referees, like it's a big thing. Like I'm not saying like referees necessarily influence the game, but if they call it tight and Iguodala picks up two early fouls and they have to go to Klay guarding Kawhi, then I could see that having like a, again, this is more hopeful, but like it's like a downward sort of like a trickle down effect in terms of just like, you know, Klay has to guard Kawhi. It burns him out a little bit energetically. He doesn't have enough offensively. And then, you know what I mean? Then that's sort of the way I'm sort of seeing it in terms of like if the Raptors win a couple of these games, it's because not only is Kawhi dominating, but Kawhi's actually leaving a physical toll on the Warriors.
Yeah, that's what LeBron does.
Yeah.
That's the LeBron. That's like the like KD is different, right? It's like, well, he'll cook you. And like Steph is kind of different where it's like those two guys will cook you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like and like with Steph, he'll run you into the ground because he's just running in circles all game. But it's like with those two guys, like you're getting cooked, but it's like they're not really hitting you. They're just finessing you the entire game. And you look up and they've dropped 30 on you, right? It's like with LeBron, Giannis, and Kawhi, these guys where it's like they're coming at you all game long. And you're right. I mean, like, Klay could never really guard LeBron. Like Klay's a great defender, great on-ball defender. Yeah. But it's more like 1-3, right? Like, he'll lock up Lowry pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can see him locking up whoever. Like, it would be pretty chill. But it's like, you're right. Like, if they find a way and they have to play Klay extended minutes on Kawhi, it's probably not great. They'll probably switch that to Draymond. But then who's protecting the rim? And so exactly. It's like an effect where it's like that gets a little bit tougher. And that's when it's like they'll probably keep Klay on him and just say, make it tough. Mm-hmm. Just make him score a tough 35 because Kawhi's going to get his. But like make it hard because Kawhi has to play both sides. LeBron doesn't play both sides. And if Kawhi has to be that defender on both sides of the ball, like that gets tiring. And it's like he's played a 7-game series. He played a 6-game series against someone that he had to guard and score against. Or, well, I guess he scored against Middleton. But, like, that's tough. Like, yep. That's where the Warriors start to wear people down. Because, like, how long can you run around with Steph and Klay? And, like, you see in that OK series a couple years back, Klay and Steph started getting open shots. Not because the Thunder, like, were dumb or anything. It's just, like, it's hard to guard those guys. It's hard. Like, it's not ISO, ISO, pound, pound. It's you're running through six screens in one possession. Like, nobody wants to run through six screens in one possession. So that's kind of – the Warriors are different is what I've learned in the last couple of years.
One of the ways I feel like the Warriors are different is, you know, it's a very unique team in the sense that they always, because of the way Steph plays and because of the way Draymond plays, they always somehow tend to run centers off the floor. And, like, I was thinking about this sort of just, I was writing a preview for the series, and I was trying to think about, like, which centers have had success against the Warriors in the playoffs. And the list I came up with, and tell me if I'm missing anybody, but I got, and this is, like, marginal. Like, Tristan Thompson has had success, I would say. I would say Steven Adams had success in 2016. And I guess this year, Montrezl Harrell. But, like, that's, like, the whole list. Like, you know what I mean? Are there centers that killed you? Because I even looked up into, like, Gasol's numbers from, like, the 2015, you know, series. And that was a very different team. And, you know, the Warriors are different. Obviously, Gasol was different. But, like, Gasol averaged, like 18 points. Okay, Ibaka as well?
Ibaka played okay. Like, in that, he gave him problems.
But that's like, it, right? And it's, like, usually hustle guys?
Yeah. It's usually, like Ibaka's thing was, like, he could rebound. And he could kind of come up on Steph a little bit. But again, like, that was 3 years ago, right? Like, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're getting prime Gasol and Ibaka, like, dude, I'm telling you, like, that's a problem. Like, now all of a sudden you're getting every rebound and you can kind of mess around with Steph a little bit like Ibaka did. Ibaka was a problem. Like, they played Ibaka at the five and, like, they played KD at the five a little bit too. It's just, man, you know Ibaka playing now better than me, although he came on the pod, so you probably can't say much. But, like, is Ibaka even, like, is he that good? Like, he's kind of a role player now. Like, I don't know if he can hoop like that anymore.
He's definitely a role player. I think his energy comes and goes, and it's like a big confidence thing with Ibaka. Like, when he comes in the game, they got to feed him like one or two easy baskets, like a dunk,
mid-range shot.
Yeah, one of those two goes in early. He gets a block maybe, and it's like, okay, Ibaka's engaged. He's gonna be good throughout the game. It's either that or he misses his first two shots. It's like a real easy shot. He somehow misses it, and it like weighs on him mentally, and then he's like done for the game. Like, he's like all or nothing, basically. Like, there's a crazy stat out there. Like, the Raps are like 7-0 this playoffs when Ibaka scores 10 points. But everyone's like, yo, that means Ibaka's only scored 10 points seven times. Damn. And they played a deep playoff series. And he gets paid $25 million or whatever. So, Yeah, I mean, look, Ibaka, like, he's inconsistent. Like, I think he'll deliver that energy, and sometimes you're like, well, that's the old Ibaka, but, like, there's a real difference. And he doesn't do that every game, so.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the benefit of the Raptors having home court advantage, right? Because, like,
that's true.
If you're going to want to go up 2-0, which, like, I think the Raptors, like, I mean, dude, like, every game is a must win. It's the freaking NBA finals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I think for the Raptors, game one is damn near a must win. For if I were looking at from like a rap, well, I guess from my perspective, I guess. But it's like, you can't lose game one. Mm-hmm. Like, you lose game one on the road. If the Warriors win game one on the road, and now they've got home court advantage, and KD's gonna be back, I think 3-4, right? It's like, boy. Like, now you've got to win 4 out of 6 against the Warriors, and you just lost one, you know. And it, like, that mentally is just – that wears. And, like, that's why I almost feel like if the Warriors win tomorrow, I damn near feel like the series is over. Like, I don't see how the Raptors come back. But it's
– Yo, don't do the Paul Pierce thing, man. Come on.
But it's like the Raptors lost twice against Milwaukee. They're down 3-2 against Philly. So, like, they've got that mental toughness, right? But it's like – like playing against Giannis and some scrubs that he plays with, or like the Sixers where nothing fits, like that's a different beast than against the Warriors. So like I damn near almost feel like that's my hot take. Like if the Raptors lose game one tomorrow, like I think the series is over. Like there's just no chance like the Raptors can win. Like it might go to six, but I don't think they can win.
Yeah, I hear you. I think it's pretty imperative, especially if KD's out, that you got to jump on this opportunity and like go up 2-0. Like, that's
2-0,
that,
man.
I mean, listen, I know.
That'll be great.
I'm talking spicy. But, like, for real, like, if the Raptors can take the first two games, then it's on. I mean, first off, then it's, like, the earliest it could go is six games. But, like, in terms of with the Warriors. But, like, you know, like, they honestly, they should have, I think they should have a bit of advantage, especially if KD's out. You know what I mean? And the way I'm looking at, obviously, I'm like, I support the Raptors, you know what I mean? Like, I've watched the team way more closely. I've watched the Warriors. But, like, I'm just saying, like, you know, at a certain point, like, for example, for you guys, like, how many guys on the Warriors do you trust? Like, assuming that KD's not in for games 1 and 2, like, are there 6 guys you trust? to play on the road. I mean,
there's probably six. There's probably only six. Like, it's probably Steph, Clay, Draymond, Iguodala, Looney, and, like, I guess it's 5.5, like Sean Livingston. Like, I guess that's, like, I would trust, like, 5.5. You know, if I were a Raptors fan, I would think of it this way, too. Like, I've kind of been talking with some Warriors people, and I think the problem at this point, it's, like, I'm saying KD's back 3 and 4. I think some people think he's not going to play the series, right? And so like, some people actually don't think he's playing at all. And he's flying to Toronto, but he's not flying to Toronto to play game 2. He's flying to Toronto because the head trainer is going to be there, and he wants to be with the, and they want him to be with the head trainer. So that's why. Okay. And the other thing, it's like, man, you watch that Portland series. The Warriors were down 18 every single game besides game 1. Like, they did not beat the crap out of Portland.
No. Now, they demoralized them, though.
Yeah, right. Like, winning like that, right? Like, it's worse than getting blown out, because it's like, what can you do? But like, they didn't beat the crap out of Portland, and the Raptors are a lot better than Portland.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that'd be the take. It's like, do the Warriors, like, if they play that same way, like, do they have it? But I think that if you're a Raptors fan, I think that's what you're looking at. And you're saying, like, we have a chance to pounce on this team. Like, they are probably pretty confident, but, like, they don't know what's going to hit them. And that's why I kind of feel like it's that OKC series.
Word. Where are you at with KD in terms of just – I mean, are you cool? I mean, you've probably been asked this all season. I heard you guys talk about it all season. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to ask you if he stays or goes. I think you're pretty much on the consistent that he's going to go to the Knicks, yeah?
KD literally changes his mind every month.
Wow. Look at you, every sounded like month. Royce Young. No.
Hey, by the way, like, I apologize to Royce. Not in person. I got a good Royce story. I could probably say it on the pod, but yeah, sure. He tried to fight me one time. He was at Oracle and I was covering the team, and I was sitting down with Ethan, Ethan Strauss, and I'm just chilling, and Ethan comes in and he's like, "Yo, you better get away from me." I was like, "The fuck are you talking about, dude?" He goes, "Roy's looking for you, man. He's out for blood." He was like, "Where's Lou?" And so I'm standing there and I'm walking out and I see Royce, like, 5'5", dude. And I'm like looking at him and I'm like, he's just mean mugging me the whole time. I'm like, dude, you're really gonna punch me out here in the middle of the media room with, like, Steph Curry right in front of me. And so, like, he just, like, looks at me. I just, like, walk out. Like, I'm just like, dude. Anyway, like, the dude hates me.
Shit, really?
Takes it deadly serious. He even, like, called Warriors World and was like, "Hey, you got to get your guys to stop trolling me," and stuff like that, which is, I thought, was hilarious. Like, that's the stuff I live for, right? Like, if people don't know me, it's like, I love when people get in their feelings about that type of stuff, because it's like, dude, it's hoops.
Like, media beats are hilarious, man.
Oh, yeah, they're the best. It's like, dude, like, first of all, like, I get this is your life, but, like, the Warriors get swept. Who cares?
Yeah.
You move on. Like, you care for, like, a month. Like, it'll hurt, but it's like, you know, like, you move on. You know, you live your life. You live in Toronto. I live in San Francisco. It's not that bad, but, you know, it's Oklahoma, you know, so I couldn't resist that one. but damn it, what was I going to say now? Oh, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I think in the middle of the season, he thought he was gone. He wanted to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think as he locked into the playoffs and as people start calling him the best player in the world, he was way happier. And you know, he was kind of more comfortable, you know, leaning to go back to the Warriors. But, you know, it always changes. I think at this point, it's damn near a coin flip. If you put a gun to my head and asked me to choose right now, I would say he's going to New York. But let's say the Warriors win the title and, like, he comes back and, like, brings them back, you know, it's 1-1 and he comes back game 3 and, like, helps them win and, like, wins 3 in a row. Like, I would think he's going to stay. Right. I think, like, it truly, truly matters what happens this series and how he plays, whether he'll stay or not. I do not think it's a LeBron situation where he's gone regardless. So, but yeah, if you ask me today at this very moment what Kevin Durant would do if he was forced to make a decision, I think he would be in New York.
So he's not going to sit out the whole series because he wants to preserve his health for free agency.
Rick Bucher's, dude, I don't know who he talks to. I only know who I do. It's not like I have sources. This is just, like, my feelings. But, like, I mean, shouts to Rick Bucher. He has a job. He's doing great. Good guy. Good hair, you know?
Yeah, good hair. Would you be mad if – not mad. I mean, you will never be mad if KD resigns with your team. But would you be somewhat – would a part of you be mad if you did another 1+1? Just because it would – you would have the same thing all over again for, like, the fourth straight year.
I think I would have the same feeling as the Warriors fans. like, hey, I'm glad you're back, but what the fuck, dude? Like, come on. Like, I'd be frustrated and just be like, dude, make up your mind.
Yeah, you're in or out.
But like, you know, he really is, like, singularly, like, the most talented player in the league. Like, you're not going to say, dude, can he just get out of here? Like, as much as you can be annoyed by him, like, you know, like, you – like, if KD comes back next season, like, they're going to win another title. So it's like you, there's nothing. And it's all about chips, man. Like, no matter what LeBron stands say, it's all about titles. Mm. And so it's like, yeah, you'd be frustrated, but I mean, it's fine. And there's a chance he might do that. Like, there's a chance. I think Nike wants him to stay for Chase Center. I think Rich Kleiman wants him to go to New York, but I just don't know how much KD is listening to that at the moment. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for KD, I feel like it might be better for his legacy to go to a different conference. And it's just, like, for great players, I feel like it's always about chapters in their career. Or maybe this is, like, me, like, following LeBron a little bit too strongly. But I feel like LeBron always looked at his career like, these are chapters in a story. And in order to actually get to a new chapter, you got to make a move. You know? And I feel like maybe KD can, like, see that. But, I mean, again, I don't know, you know. And if he goes to New York, it also depends on who goes with him. Like, I mean, obviously, as a Raptors fan, I prefer him stay out west. But, I mean, all at the same time, like, if he leaves the Warriors, I guess it's – at least it opens the league up for everyone else, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing with KD, it's like he cares about what you think too, right? Like, you say that, and, like, you know, there's other people that say that, and it's like he'll care, and, like, he'll think about it, and he'll, like, converse with you on it. And it's like – you even think of it from another perspective and just say, dude, like, this is your chapter right here. Like, your chapter, you're going to win 5 titles in a row. You're going to be the greatest team of all time. You know, fuck chapters. Like, this is the story, right? And it's like, he could definitely think that way. But it's like the problem with, I guess you could say it's not really a problem, but it's like the way he thinks is that, like, he'll take into account everything. He'll listen to everyone. It's like, who cares what Andy Lu says or who cares what Nick Wright says, but what KD does. Yeah. And so it's like, I guess you can't fault him because he's human just like me and you, but it's like you kind of – we're so used to expecting athletes to just like not care about what me and you think that when someone like him does, it just shocks you. Like it's just like, man, like you're KD. You know, I'm Kevin Durant. It's like who cares what they say, but you know.
And that's the weird thing about KD, I find, because like again, most athletes, if they're vulnerable, like they usually get sympathy on their side and people rally around that. But like – with KD in particular, I don't know what it is, but his style of vulnerability, but it just somehow grates people. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know why he's not more popular than what he is. Like, is it the fact that he's insecure? Because, like, again, like, everyone's insecure. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure LeBron's insecure as hell. It's just he puts on a different persona.
I think it's it's the move to Golden State. I think he was loved in OKC, right? Like, who disliked KD in OKC?
Nobody. But nobody really cared about him. He was literally just like, oh, yeah, he scores 30 points and he loves his mom. Like, that was his whole story.
Right, right. I mean, that's why he's at Golden State, right? Yeah. That's why kind of why he moved out, that and Russ. But it's like, for Kevin Durant, it's if he had just – oh, God, I hate to do this. And it's like, I almost feel bad sometimes. Mm. He also hates my tweets. But it's like, if he had just not paid any attention that first time they won a title and just celebrated and was just living his life and was just even lied about it, dude. Like, even just be like, yo, I'm so happy. Yeah. I feel fulfilled. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. I feel amazing. And he wins a second title, and he does the same thing. But it's like, dude, he won the first title, and the first thing he did was get online and argue with kids on IG. And it's like, yo, I feel it. You know, we all read our DMs. We all read our mentions. But it's like, if you wanted to be like that guy or treated as that guy, like, you got to fake it, man. You think LeBron really feels how he feels? You think LeBron's happy? You think he's smoking cigars and happy that he didn't even make the playoffs? Fuck no. Yeah. But he's lying about it. Because, like, he's trying to be, like, you know, he's trying to make it to the public, like, you know, I'm happy with my life. But, like, the dude's probably miserable. He didn't even make the playoffs. Oh, man. The dude might be the best player all time, didn't make the playoffs. It's pathetic. But it's like he's going to act like he's happy, right? And it's like KD didn't do that. Because, like, he wasn't happy about winning that first title because of what people said. Mm. But he, like, voiced it. He truly voiced it. And, man, like, Twitter trolls like me, dog, like, People eat that.
Exactly. You got to give them no content to actually feed off.
No content. It's like all he does is give people content. And so it's like, that's who he is, though. And so that's why I feel bad.
We're talking about the finals, right?
Yeah, every pod, dude. We talk like every pod Warriors. We talk.
Yo, KD is like actually really fascinating. I love following KD. I really do.
It's truly like, we're gonna keep talking to KD, but people say he has no stands, but it's almost like he's become like a truly fascinating character to talk about.
Yeah,
and it's like, and there are people that are just gonna be the old KD soft, KD's this, but it's like, dude, you really break it down. It's like, dude, like, you know, I had a pod with Marcus yesterday, and he wrote a whole book. Like,
yeah,
he wrote a whole book, and it's like, dad left him when he was 1 year old, dude.
Yeah,
he left him, and like the stuff that KD went through as a kid, like,
it's tough.
You know, I didn't grow up in the hood. Like, I grew up in the Sunset, man. But it's like, I grew up poor. Mm. But it's like, I didn't grow up like KD.
Yeah.
But Marcus was saying, like, man, most people that grow up like him, like, grow up dead. Like, they grow up in gangs. Like, they don't make it out. And it's like, he's not soft. He's the furthest thing from soft. But it's just like, I think he's gone through a lot in his life where, like, a lot of things irritate him. And it's like, that's why I always tell people, it's like, the difference between Steph and KD, man. Like, you look at how KD grew up.
Yeah,
like how Steph grew up. Oh boy, like you can kind of see why one's insecure and one's like almost too secure for his own good. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, no more KD talk. No more KD talk.
No more.
But I said we could do a whole pod on KD. No problem. what was your prediction for the series? I heard you say Warriors in five, which is put some respect on the Raptors, please. Respect Fred VanVleet. All right, ever since he had a baby, he's shooting like 80% for three. How could you not respect that?
Why is Fred VanVleet got the same beard and kind of hairstyle as Drake, though? Like,
Toronto barber's got like one default cut, actually.
is it just the Toronto? I mean, me, you can't rock that. Like,
no, I can't.
Like I'm going, like, you know, like, anyway. I got the Warriors in five, dude.
Wow. Okay, so is this assuming KD plays how many games? Because obviously that's a big caveat.
Yeah. I think KD plays game three, four latest. So I think he plays three games.
Got Warriors in five. Jeez,
I'm feeling frisky. Like, wow. I said, I am nervous. I am truly nervous.
Yeah, because you don't know what to expect. It's not like you're playing LeBron. If you're playing LeBron on the Cavs teams, you know you're gonna win.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know, and like I can see ways that the Warriors are gonna lose, but it's like, man, I'm looking at it. And I'm like, how are the. So this is where if people are still listening, they're going to be mad. Like,
no, go ahead.
Warriors ain't going to lose to Lowry, bro. Like, they ain't going to lose to Pascal Siakam. They're not going to lose to Gasol. Like, they're not going to lose to Washington Ibaka. Like, they're not going to lose to Norman Powell. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, if they lose, like, hey, Kyle Lowry and LeBron, salute to you. Like, salute to you. Like, they could not guard those two guys.
The only dudes to beat the Warriors at their peak were LeBron and
Cool. That's it. Yeah. And like J.R. Smith having the series of his life. So it's like, hey, I'll give you Marc Gasol having the series of his life. But sure. It's like, they're not going to lose to these guys. I just don't see it. And maybe it's like five's a little too arrogant, but it's like, you know.
I can see five. I can see almost all the outcomes. Like, I just don't see a sweep either way. But
any of
the other outcomes, I can kind of talk myself into, you know. And that includes Raps in five, by the way, which is my very hopeful prediction.
Yeah,
it was my own version of Andy Liu, even though I don't actually believe Raps in five. But you know, you gotta just stake that hot take early and then point back to it, be like, no one believed when I did.
That's what you gotta do, dude. Because nobody's gonna remember when you're wrong. It don't matter.
Nah.
Okay. But what? So you think Raptors in five?
Yeah, I mean that's a wild prediction. I mean Raps in seven, really. And Raps in five was like if KD didn't play at all, and then like Raptors like basically got eight like Iguodala to wear down. I'm like, yeah, I could see that happening, but. If KD comes back, then I feel like, you know, at best, Raptors can take it in seven. Because I just think KD changes so much. Like, the Warriors can then play small, and then the Raptors centers can't play as much. And then the Raptors kind of are short on the wing because OG is hurt. Or now he's hurt. He's actually questionable now because he finally is recovering. But you're not going to just jump right back from not playing basketball straight into the NBA Finals as like a 22-year-old. What's that?
No Patty McCaw.
Okay, so how do you guys see Pat McCaw? Because we like Pat McCaw. It was like cool that he fell into our laps, and I felt like he has skills, and I feel like he can really develop into something. Like, not like great, but he can be like a solid rotation player, especially if he decides. Because like the Raptors are good at developing players, but like How do you guys feel about Pat McCaw? Because he really should still be with the Warriors.
He's good, man. He's a good kid.
Yeah.
I can say kid now. I'm 27, so I can call these people kids. Wow. I don't even know how old McCaw is, but it's like he's got talent. I don't know what happened to him. I think he's got some mental. I'm not saying like he's got mental issues, but I think he had some mental block. I think he was got told a few things where he thought he was better than who he was. And I think that if that is going to remain the case in his NBA career, he's done. He's not going to make it. But if he's willing to be who the Warriors want him to be, just be a wing guy. Just be a wing guy. Like, he's not even 3-and-D. Like, he can't even shoot threes. But it's like, just be a wing depth piece. Mm-hmm. And don't try to do more than you can. Like, you'd be fine. You'll be an NBA player. But, like, he's out because he wanted to be more than that. Like, dude, if McCall's on the Warriors, he'd be getting run right now, dude.
Of course. Like, yo, you guys are playing McKinney. Yo, the Raptors were like, we looked at Alphonso McKinney. We had him. And we were like, we're good. Like
hey.
You could play for the G League team, but that's it. And no disrespect to McKinney. I think he's played nicely for you guys to give you guys energy. He's a pretty good rebounder. He's always been that way.
Yeah, he's a good rebounder.
But, like, come on. We're talking Alphonso McKinney. Like, McCaw should play more minutes.
He's terrible on defense, Alphonso McKinney. His lateral movement, for someone that can jump that high, and, is that athletic. Like, that lateral, like, it's just, I don't get the lateral movement from him where it's just so bad. And he, like, fouls so much. And, like, here's the thing about,
yo,
like,
he's Jamario Moon for the modern age.
Jamario Moon, what a throwback name.
Yo, Raptors fans, we love Jamario. I shit you not, at playoff games during this run where Raptors fans are watching Kawhi play on nightly basis, there are people wearing Jamario Moon jerseys, proudly. Oh, it's a weird franchise, man.
He was a dunker, right?
Yo, he was a hell of a dunker, man.
Yeah.
He had one rebound one time where, like, his whole head was above the rim. And he didn't even do anything with the rebound. It was just, but there's a whole YouTube clip of just him jumping for that rebound. It's actually an incredible rebound.
God.
Anyway.
Also, by the way, like, I like Toronto announcers. Like, I don't know who they are, but, like, I don't watch as much NBA, like, as much as I used to. But, like, back when I used to watch, like, damn near every night, like, I thought Toronto Raptors were, like, right up there. Like, the Knicks were probably my favorite.
Yeah.
But, like, Toronto I thought was, like, top three. Like, I thought they were fun. Like,
it's a solid podcast. They're, like, a little homerish, but it's not, like, Bob Fitzgerald kind of homerish.
You know? God, dude, you know, I'm so glad I don't need to hear his voice right now. Like, but it's, like, Jeff Van Gundy and Mark. By the way, do you guys have the Toronto broadcast? Why was I watching highlights where there was a Toronto broadcast? Because in the States, we don't have local broadcasts.
We have local broadcasts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Even now, even the NBA Finals?
Yes, I believe so. I don't know. I don't have cable, so I'm not watching this like that. I'm just like, I watch League Pass or I'm at the games, but
you're Reddit streaming.
Occasionally, I don't know, man. I got the next level. All right. The VPN plus League Pass combo is the best one. Trust me.
Okay.
Cause you can pause, you can go to different games, whatever. But yeah, I mean, like, I believe you can still, like, on the regular sports channels here, like Canadian ESPN, aka TSN, like, you could just, like, watch, like, the Canadian broadcaster, and then, or you could switch to, like, ABC, and you can hear Mike Breen say bang.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's hopefully when Steph hits his, you know, 8-3 in a row. Right. So,
fuck, I'm already stressed about it, man.
Hey, listen, it's gonna be like, I'm stressed. Like,
no really lead is safe against the Warriors. I'll just tell Raptors fans right now, if you feel comfortable because Raptors up 25 in the third quarter, you're wrong. Like,
I, for my own curiosity, I'm curious how Toronto fans are thinking. What do they think about this series? Is it a, we're happy to be here, we have a shot, or is it, we got a chance here? Like, let's get this dub. Like, what is the reaction, what do you think, from most Toronto fans?
Honest. Okay, so out of those two answers, it's definitely, we have a chance here, let's get this dub. But I will explain it like this. And I feel like I've done a lot of introspection as well. Because I'm like, realistically, as a Raptors fan, I have never been in this situation. This is the first time when they're in the NBA Finals. It's the first time they have a legit superstar. It's the first time they have a good supporting cast around that superstar. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, we're just kind of like, yo, we've never been here before. We'll believe anything. You know what I mean? We have irrational confidence at this point. And, like, realistically,
so you get swept, you're still happy.
Nah, if we get swept, we'll be like, all right, that was embarrassing. But, like, if the Raptors can even take two games, I think people will be celebrating like crazy.
Yeah, cool,
like,
with that. Yeah,
Like 2016, a couple years ago, Raps went to the conference finals and with LeBron. And, like, Kyrie was mad hungover for game 3. Raps, like, destroyed them. And then game 4, like, the Cavs actually played well, but the Raptors somehow, like, scored, like, 120. And so they won two games and it was tied 2-2. And, like, the rest of the series wasn't close. Like, LeBron just came back, smacked them by, like, 30 points every time. But, like, even at the end of that, game 6, it was in Toronto. Like, Raptors were down, like, like, I'm not kidding, like 40 points. And whole fourth quarter, people were just like standing up and cheering for the team because they had put in such a great effort. And that's what I mean by like when a team gets to a point where they've never been before, like it's just all, you know what I mean? Like all the confidence is just, it suddenly rushes to the team and you're a little bit irrational about the whole thing. So,
so it's like the Raptors, they're playing with house money is the phrase.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
They're just, there's no, like as a rap, like I guess you could be stressed at the, as a Raptors fan, but like deep down, you know, like, dude, like even if they lose, it's fine. But like, you know, you look at it from a Warriors fan perspective or a player or a Warriors organization. It's like, dude, this is a three-peat. This is a chance at 4 out of 5.
Mm.
Like, this is a chance for Steph Curry to be like, you know, one of the greatest point guards of all time, probably right behind Magic. Like, there is a lot on the line, I think, for the Warriors more so than the Raptors. So I think, like, if you want to talk about pressure and stress, like, I do think it is mostly on the Golden State side. Like, maybe that helps the Raptors. Like, maybe that'll wear on them, like, in a series. Like, maybe it gets to game 5 and it's tied, and it's game 6, they're down 3-2. Like, it starts to come crashing down on them. Like, I think if you're a Raptors fan, that's what you kind of want to think of, because it's like, there is a lot of historical, like, stuff at stake here for Golden State. And I don't think any of that matters to Toronto. They just like, hey, we win this championship. Me personally, I don't think Kawhi's coming back, and it's like that's all that matters.
Kicking
like,
right? The pod right now, man. No, this is a Kawhi stay podcast.
Got too far, huh?
Yeah,
got too
far. No, that's the only one that was out of bounds. You can't leave us, man. Come on, we're putting up posters for him.
I leave saw posters? That. Billboards and all that stuff. I think
it's actually kind of dope, though. It actually is kind of dope. Like Toronto as a city, like the energy right now. When Toronto feels confident, like it actually is a really cool city to be in, because the opposite is like when the Raptors are not, like fans aren't confident, and then like everyone hates themselves, and it's like a weird thing, you know. We're basically Drake, basically. There's like a whole 20,000 Drakes in the arena. It's the same energy.
But by the way, love Drake. I don't know how your pop feels or Toronto fan feels. Love Drake. I think it's hilarious that he's running around the sideline massaging Nick Nurse. I wish he freaking ran off. I wish he rushed the court after Game 6.
I was surprised he didn't, to be honest.
Because
everybody was on the floor already.
You think Drake's just gonna run out there? But big Drake guy, so you know, happy for him.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because Drake's also a huge Warriors fan, you know. So I'm excited for him to like turn heel, Raps are down 3-0 in the series. Drake shows up in a Steph Curry jersey. How awkward is it that he has Steph and KD's numbers tattooed on him?
It's weird, dude. It's
kind of weird.
Weird, man.
A little weird.
Yeah, like it's not even weird from like, oh, you got two grown men.
No,
it's jersey numbers. It's just like, why do you have? It's like, I get it if it's like Shaq Kobe or like, you know, Jordan Pippen. It's like these guys have been playing together for years, but it's like, dog, like Steph, KD played for 2 years. Like this is the third year, and it's like KD finna be gone. Like these guys aren't even like they could easily be the greatest duo of all time.
Sure,
I just don't think they'll last that long. And so it's like, why do you have?
Like you're like a diehard Warriors fan. Do you have Steph Curry and KD tattooed on yourself?
I don't even own Warriors stuff. Like I don't care. But it's like I love the Warriors, and it's like I don't care to own stuff. But it's like, I will be shedding a tear when Steph Curry retires. So you know that's that'll be a day that I hope I never see. But of course, I hope that's after, you know, 6 titles, maybe 7. So.
I mean, it might honestly be a dynasty like that. All right, two last questions real quick.
Oh, yeah.
One, how satisfied were you when you saw that report from, I think, Woj about basically the Rockets are willing to do a fire sale and trade everybody after losing to the Warriors again?
I've heard Daryl Morey has completely lost his mind, and he is just like a, you know, it's like a scientist when they can't figure something out.
Yeah.
It's just like they just got like a million papers and their room's a mess and like their wife has left them and like they haven't shaved in like 8 months. Like I think that's Daryl Morey. Like I think that's Daryl Morey at this moment. And like I think he's completely wrecked. And can you blame him? And so I don't think I'm that happy about that being for Daryl Morey. I think he's a good GM and a good dude. It's hilarious to me though for Chris Paul. It's like,
oh man,
I cannot stand Chris Paul. I think he's petty. I don't think he's a good leader. I think he's a great basketball player, but he's a joke on the court. And so it's like, I think it's amazing, amazing. And it's like James Harden definitely doesn't like him. I think that's great. We saw coming.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. It's just perfect that the Warriors did this to him. It's just, there's nothing better. It's better than championship.
Yo, because the funny thing with the Rockets is, like, yo, Raptors fans don't like Rockets fans, like, don't like the Rockets either. Like, we've obviously never played them in a high stakes scenario before, but, like, I don't know. We've just had some contentious games against in the Rockets in the past. But, like why was Daryl Morey being so extra? Like, going into GQ and being like, yeah, all I think about all day is beating the Warriors and, like, taking a picture at the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, what are you doing? You're a GM. Maybe just sit this out, bro. Like, just let your players decide the game.
I didn't even know he was on GQ and saying that.
Yeah, it was like one of those articles, right? And then I remember because Draymond responded in another piece, and he was like, "Really? That's what y'all doing?"
Oh yeah, yeah. So that was it's
wearing your hands like that. I mean, like,
and like the thing about Daryl too is like, you really think publishing a memo is going to help you get more calls? Like, bro, this is real life, dude. Like, what? It's like, Rich Paul.
Oh, I found 81 points that were in favor of the Warriors. Like, yo, this is ridiculous. Who's taking you seriously?
Yeah, no, exactly. And so it's like, I think of it as like, it's just bad business acumen. It's like, Rich Paul, like, you think you can just strong arm Anthony Davis to the Lakers? Like, what leverage do you have? What? Like, you do not run the NBA. You don't have any leverage. If the Pelicans don't want to trade him, they won't trade him. And it's exactly what happened. Now you end up pissing everyone off.
Mm.
And Jeannie Buss has gone on the record, and or maybe not gone on there, but she's like, or Gail Benson is like, we're not trading him to the Lakers, not over my dead body. So it's like, what goes on in your mind? Like, so those are like,
yo, I was gonna say, you can't strong arm old rich, like just old rich people, man. Like, if they don't want to do something, like, it's just over. Like, there's no debate about it.
They old and they rich.
Yeah, they're like, yo, I'll die. I don't care.
Yeah,
you're like, still not getting AD.
Like, dude, like, what did you think was gonna happen? Like. If anyway, so that's yeah.
All right, and then last question. At this point, with the Warriors being as dominant as they are, is it still fun slandering opponents? You know what I mean? Because you're like at the very top, and you're just pissing down on everybody at this point.
It never gets old. So, like, I was on Twitter then. Like, I thought that was like the peak, the pinnacle of like NBA Twitter. I thought it was great. It was like rational analysis. Like, jokes, memes, like, it was fun. And I think somewhere along the lines, it got, like, to a point where it was just no – you cannot have an actual conversation. Somebody would make a joke, and then somebody would go too far, and then it wouldn't be funny. And then, like, somewhere along the last couple of years, people would go back on the other side, and nothing's funny anymore.
Mm.
Nothing's funny now. Nothing's fun. Everything's miserable. And so I think at this point – in online conversation, it's just what is most entertaining to you as a person? What do you find most humor in? Or what is fun to you? And for me, it's just making fun of people and just like making jokes, not taking it seriously, and just trying to piss people off. And so that's why it's still fun. It's like, if I can get like Toronto fans to just like say racist things to me, it would make me so happy. So happy.
It's not gonna happen here, all right? Toronto, as we've seen, the discourse on Twitter is
it's not that. Is that Navi? Am I saying his name right? Is Nav? He not Nav?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he not? Is he not a conservative?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I believe I don't know. I haven't looked into it particularly, so I don't want to particularly speculate. But it wouldn't surprise me. I would say, because I think the one mistake people make confuse is like, oh yeah, you know, people of color are going to naturally be more liberal.
Oh,
and it's
boy,
like,
they don't know
that's
how
not true.
Works.
I would say, like, China's a very conservative country. India's a very conservative country. Works. You know what I mean? Like, so.
They don't know how this works.
No, it's not clear cut. But all right, Andy, I'm gonna let you go before I get in more trouble. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
we could have probably gone longer. But hey, man, I appreciate you having you on, dude. This was fun. We gotta find a way to do it again, bro.
Yeah, for sure. So listen, follow Andy on Twitter, Andy K. Lou. By the way, who's that? Who's that fake account that I see in your mentions?
Oh, God, dude, it's like my best friend.
It is okay.
My best friend from middle school. He just thinks it's funny. He just trolls me.
It is pretty funny.
Goons, dude, goons. You know, trolls.
Andy K. Lou is the real at. So follow him there. Honestly, as a Raptors fan, like you probably can tell based on this podcast, like you'll probably be like angry listening to Andy or reading his tweets, but like. He's really a funny dude, man. He's a really funny dude. Especially outside, maybe like after the series is done, after your whole feelings are over about the series, maybe then follow Andy because you'll get like premium content then. But in the meantime, listen to Light Years podcast with you and Sam Esfandiari and Warriors World. Shout out Warriors World, man. Great organization.
Hey, by the way, Warriors World, she did predict Toronto in five. So if people are still listening, he predicted Toronto in five. So, you know, have fun with that. Maybe they'll like that one.
Wow.
Yeah. Fuck him.
You got a ting in Toronto? What's going on?
Right. You got ABGs in Toronto, bro. Like, I'd pick Toronto in 5-2 if I had one. So I ain't tripping.
All right. We'll bring you to a Markham one time. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. And I'll be back after game one for the reaction podcast. Peace.
All right, brother. Take care.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.